Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our sermon text for today is the Old Testament lesson appointed for this, the third Sunday in the season of Pentecost. I read to you from the 20th chapter of Jeremiah, starting at verse 7 and reading through to verse 13. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him, say all my close friends watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived, then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the evildoers. Thus far the text, I invite you to bow your head with me in prayer. Gracious God, loving Heavenly Father, you go to your children. You empower their words. And we, Lord God, receive the full benefit of being in your protection. Bless us, dear God, as conveyors of the word, but now, even now, bless us as people who bow their heads humbly to listen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord friends, today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all you dads. God bless you for doing and in doing what it is that you have been involved in as you raise your families. Yours, after all, can be a difficult task. If your kids behave, everything's great, believe me, I know. But when things go astray, that's when being a dad gets really tough, and I know that too. Maybe you've noticed it's a lot easier to do right by your children than it is to do right for them. You may rate high in marks from your kids, for instance, if you constantly agree with every one of their actions and desires. But when you disagree with them, they'll storm off and start slamming the doors. You might rate high in marks if you remain silent when your children act irresponsibly, like when they don't do their chores or when they're avoiding to do their homework by watching TV or playing those video games. But if you tell them it's time to get to work, you'll hear groans. And if you catch your child in a lie, or if they've been belligerent or absolutely disrespectful, you do not earn points. You don't earn medals when you say you're grounded or you've lost your internet privileges for a week. But when you do those things, when you care for your children so greatly that you interfere in their lives and say, this is what has to be done, you know you're doing what's right for your children. That's far more important a task to do than to give in to their whims. That's what being a dad's all about sometimes. That's something that God has laid upon your heart. You take it seriously. And therefore, you move ahead to care for them, even when it doesn't result in popularity as a dad. Now, just imagine, if you will, being called upon to be a dad of an entire nation of people. That is to say, to love an entire nation as if it were your own and help it to realize that love from God. That would be Jeremiah. God called him to be the responsible adult over Israel and in love to speak to that people, especially now in their disobedience. The first 5 years of Jeremiah's prophecies were less than ideal. Israel had played the harlot and wandered away from worshiping God. They bowed down to worship idols. Things got marginally better. God gave Jeremiah an ally in the fifth year. King Josiah came to the throne at the tender age of 8 years old, and over the next 31 years, he worked diligently to tear down all the things that had to do with the worship of all those other deities and bring reform to the people. But even after Josiah issued decrees that everyone should worship the one true God, his leadership, as well as it was intention to save Israel, was met with opposition from the people. And upon Josiah's death, Israel descended into an even deepening disobedience. Jeremiah warned the people of God's coming wrath. He said that their own gods would not spare them and they should repent of their sins, but to no avail. God's prophet was mocked and scorned and thrown into stocks and rejected. O Lord, you deceived me, he cried out to God. So deep was his grief. He was called to serve his people, but no one was listening. He was appointed to lead them from wrath to peace and from death to life, but no one was paying heed. But even in his anguish, Jeremiah realized something. He realized that he was not alone. God was with his prophet, and Jeremiah knew it. For 41 years, from the beginning of his call as a prophet, through to the day even that Babylon overran Jerusalem, God stood by Jeremiah's side and gave him the strength to speak all the things that were good for the sake of his children. Dads, I'm hoping that you're having a good day, by the way. I'm hoping that your kids are laying a whole bunch of loving on you right now, even as you're sitting there in your easy chair with your feet up listening to this sermon. But there is a reality out there that you've probably encountered. And if you've had moments struggling raising your kids, don't lose hope. You're still a child of God. And he's with you as you do this good work of raising your kids, and he will never leave your side. Remember what Jeremiah has told you. He has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. That deliverance starts with you. God delivered you from Satan's hand back when you were baptized. There he marked you with the sign of the cross and called you his redeemed. Having made you into a cherished possession, he walked alongside of you, constantly communicating his love to you through his holy word. Empowered by his Holy Spirit, God built you up in faith. He built you up to withstand Satan's attacks and face the world's scorn. As a dad, God gave you the authority to speak his saving word. He didn't do that for the sake of your family alone, but for the sake of the world. And he supported you as he supported all the servants that he appointed before you, like the prophets and the apostles. God knit you together with them under one confession as his holy church. He did that for the sake of the world. You know that old advertisement that Canadian Blood Services use, give thanks, give life, or life, it's in you to give. Our Canadian Blood Services has been using those slogans forever to get you to stretch out your arm and give blood to a total stranger because it could save that person's life. Praise God for every arm that's ever been stretched out like that, but praise him all the more for every neck that's been stretched out too. When you make a confession, you stretch out your neck. Praise God for that, because every time a Christian has stuck out his neck, he or she has made a proclamation that can stand between a sinner and God's eternal fire. give thanks. We can all give thanks to God for his unfailing love and presence. Give life, that's the response to what we've received. It's a response which cannot be denied, that wells up in our hearts and has to get out. As Jeremiah said in today's sermon text, if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it in, I cannot. In other words, Jeremiah was compelled to be the dad, compelled to be the responsible adult, and compelled not to be silenced. I pray the same for you because the world depends on it. Your children's lives depend on it. This week's assurance is that God is with us, and it can be taken directly off of our key verse for the week. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 9, verse 1, as always, as printed in your worship folders. As Jeremiah found out, God was there with him, even when he stuck out his neck and spoke God's word. And that became especially important as time went on. Because after Israel was led away to Babylon in chains for its iniquity, after it had received just punishment for its disobedience, Israel heard again from Jeremiah. They heard that God will forgive them. And I will bring Israel back to his pasture, and he will graze on Carmel and Bashan, and his desire will be satisfied in the hill country of Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for the iniquity of Israel, but there will be none. They'll look for the iniquity of Judah, but it will not be found, for I will pardon those whom I leave as a remnant. The truth of those words echo across all time. They point to forgiveness in Christ, not just for a remnant of people from years past, but for us and to us and to those whom we love, our children, our parents, our sisters, our brothers, our friends and neighbors. As Jeremiah continued, their Redeemer is strong, the Lord of hosts is his name. He will vigorously plead their case so that he may bring rest to the earth. All of those quotes, by the way, are from Jeremiah 50. Is there any wonder, then, that Jeremiah, who started out this particular sermon text complaining to God about his struggles, the struggles that he faced as a prophet, would conclude this diatribe by saying, sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the evildoers. God was with him all the way. And that was all he needed. God's with you, dads, moms, kids, making your life secure as as you walk in his word, as you confess his word in times of good, in times of bad, in times of plenty, and in times of need. He's there even when you sorrow and when you face strife. He's there to help you and help you proclaim the word of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you're here with us and that you bless us with your presence. Help us to always realize that you're with us when we open our mouths to confess who you are to the world. Don't leave our sides even when we're persecuted or when we're scorned or mocked. But instead, Lord God, use us for the furtherance of your gospel. I pray your protection over the dads of our congregation and the dads all around this world. There is this unenviable task, and yet one that's just so blessed. You've filled their lives with the joyousness of having children. Help them to be a blessing to those children now and always. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And amen.